Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, and we have a lot to talk about and a lot to discuss and a wonderful panel before us. Let me introduce them to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Newsman Ray Graff joins us as well.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Raymond. And executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, we're excited that he's back and in our studios as always. Stuchinski is with us.
Gentlemen, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. We always love when you make the, 3-hour drive, 2-hour drive? What is
2 days, you change flights.
Layover in Kingston. It's fine. Well, thank you for making the effort. We appreciate it. Very nice to have you here. Let us begin with the story that is making headlines across the nation and the globe, actually, and that is leaders and citizens in Germany, one of America's closest allies, simmered with barely contained fury on Thursday over reports that American intelligence had tapped into Chancellor Angela Merkel's cell phone, the latest diplomatic fallout from the documents harvested by the former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. In an unusual move between staunch allies, Germany summoned the United States ambassador over the claims. Merkel herself angrily demanded assurances from President Obama that her cell phone was not the target of an American intelligence tap as soon as suspicions surfaced on Wednesday. Obviously one of the keys to the story is that you have one of her closest allies and you're tapping their phones.
It's probably happened a lot before.
Oh, yes.
It's probably happening right now to some other leader.
We do they and they do us.
Right. And this, to some extent, I believe all this outrage is theater because all the leaders and intelligence communities know that they all do this.
Yes.
And so this is, you know, me think the lady doth protest too much.
Not me. I don't agree with you.
Oh, really? I'm not surprised.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
I didn't say it was a good idea. I just said I think they all do it.
Look, as I've mentioned before, you know, when the wall came down and communism was over, our brilliant CIA didn't have the slightest idea it was happening and sort of had to, you know, run around. And so this business of tapping everybody's phones in order to get intelligence is not exactly that. But it's just, hey, Raymond, it's just not right.
I'm not saying you're wrong in that statement. I'm just saying I think everybody tries to do it.
Well, now let's
we may just, be better at it than
so
some.
So if you have one of your closest allies and you're tapping their phone, does that not say we don't?
Hey,
we don't trust you.
Well,
I'm not
trust but verify.
I'm not defending the practice.
Here.
All right, I'm not defending the practice.
No, I'm just saying you can understand their anger.
Sure.
You said
sure.
The lady doth protest not too much, but I'm wondering, you know.
Germany has a robust secret service as well, and I'm sure they're tapping some other people. They don't have a Snowden who's releasing the documents at this time.
But there's a big difference.
I
we
see.
Got caught, they didn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, that's the deal. But I'm going to tell you, I think it's fascinating. Here you get Angela Merkel. You know where she was raised?
Angela.
Angela.
Angela,
yeah, Angela. Yeah.
Angela Merkel,
yeah. You got to get the right angle
right.
On that.
Angela.
but where was she raised? She was raised in East Germany. And boy, the Stasi, they were good at
they
that.
They knew a little bit about that.
They knew a little about that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the predecessors to the Stasi were even worse than that, the Nazis. So there is this deep suspicion on her part, I am sure, of the way in which this is done. And she's entitled to that. And by the way, you know, we're talking about Argentina here. We're talking about, you name it, we're getting caught doing it with everybody.
Right, with the Brazilian...
Brazil.
Yeah,
right
president. And obviously there's now questions... In,
France.
France, and with John Kerry visiting France and getting questions over this as well. So, which brings up two questions. One about, I mean, which is one... The discussion we're having about, you know, how much of it is necessary, how much of it is, you know, that we're all doing it and we're just not talking about it, and it's, you know, like the Jets and the Patriots taping each other. But
I think it's a little Murdoch,
little bit different. Oh, we're gonna get on Murdoch. We're gonna talk about Murdoch in a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But what about where is Snowden in all of this? Because meanwhile,
he's in Russia.
Well, I know.
Yeah, he's left the airport, but he's in Russia.
I know that, and he gave a lengthy interview to the New York Times, and he's been talking, but of having this this ball rolling, and what does this mean, do you think, for his future of quote unquote the trouble that he's caused?
Huh? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Is he going to be shot, I believe, is Joe's question.
Look, everybody has a role in all of this. I got to get Stuschinski's view on this, but mm-hmm. it seems to me that he is now become somewhat of a tool of Putin. Now I say that. What are you grinning? What are you all grinning about?
Nothing. Did I say something? Pray continue,
okay.
Professor.
Okay. No, because Putin... The deal was he could stay in Moscow, but he wasn't allowed to give any press conferences and he wasn't allowed to say anything.
Yeah.
So you have to assume if he gives a long interview to the New York Times, the Putin regime, the old KGB, the new Putin regime, has said it's okay to do that, which means they're giving us a little bit of a stick in the eye during this. No?
Yes.
Okay. I just thought
I just find it interesting that we're listening in on the German leaders' telephone calls, but we don't know about Snowden and we don't know about Assange and all the other stuff. So
right.
Can someone explain to me what's really happening?
Yeah.
Well, no one's jumping in, Stu.
No.
Why don't you give it a whirl?
A very provocative question, and you silence the panel.
You want to answer your own question? Do you want to try to do that for us?
I think everyone has their priorities of the moment, and they don't know about the Snowdens until they emerge, and they don't know about the Assanges until they emerge. And it's, well, let's spy on that person and see what they have to say. And then suddenly, hey, what's that over there? And suddenly the crisis averts itself to a different direction, and that's where the focus goes.
Do you think we're living in a time of hackers where nothing
yes.
will be secret?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nothing can
well,
be
sure.
secret.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have this, but going back to the point I was trying to make before, where you have, we're ticked off at Snowden. We were ticked off at Snowden when this first happened. And now all
you're
these,
ticked off at Snowden when you say we're. Because I'm not so sure I'm ticked off at Snowden.
Okay, well, then the nation?
Maybe the president.
The nation except for Allen.
The United States of America, except for Allen.
Except for the United States of Allen.
Well, you know my premise. You can't have a democracy unless you have information. And you can't have... So therefore, here comes Snowden. He tells us an awful lot that we didn't know.
So
now, the downside is, before you get to it, Mr. Raymond, the downside is, obviously, that the potential for somebody getting hurt is there. You know, one of our operatives or something like that.
Or like when the Rosenberg stole the atomic secrets, we should have just given them to the Russians, yes? Because democracy should have been wide open. The plans for the atomic bomb, everything should be wide open for democracy.
I love it when you do this.
Yeah.
Or Ellsberg and what he did.
Well, no, let's go back to the atomics.
What about him?
People would be hurt if those plans were wide out in the open, but do we need everything out in there to be a democracy, sir?
Are you calling me a communist?
No, what I'm saying is there has to be a line, yes, about we need information, yes, to be an informed democracy, yes, for it to work. But does everything have to be out there?
No.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's look, we don't deal in blacks and whites. We deal in grays.
I see.
When you say I see, I know that you're putting me down.
No, not at all.
Don't think I'm not
you're
aware
the professor here.
Of that. Don't think I'm not aware of that voice of yours when you say I see.
No.
Can I try my question again?
Sure.
Okay. So the White House then is upset at Snowden. They were upset at Snowden from the very beginning. And when you have more and more fallback or blowback from this in Germany, France, Brazil, doesn't that increase the fury and increase in, I would think, their case against Snowden?
Have we learned anything is the question. In other words, we keep getting caught. People keep getting angry. People refuse to come to
the... Yeah, but it's over the same thing, right? I mean, we assume that has changed, right? Do we or do we not?
No, I don't know that it has changed. And I don't know that we're not dealing with sort of, you know, what the president says, you were not the target. The 83 people who were on the phone with you were the target. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that we may not be dealing with
it's reality. Going on right now There's listening surveillance somewhere, somehow. If people don't know about it, there's going to be more of it. And whatever excuse comes up with to satisfy the moment will be used again if it works.
You're so right. And in fact, somebody's listening to us right now.
Yeah, three people are listening to us right now. Hello out there.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Adams Ferriker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Fresh seafood, Hereford beef, farm fresh produce, local and imported cheeses, specialty groceries. AdamsFarms.com. Washington County Tourism, featuring fall foliage outdoor activities throughout Washington County, including hiking, biking, floating, fishing, and exploring. WashingtonNYCounty.com. One Roof Holistic Center, Saratoga Springs, New York, offering mindfulness practice classes year-round, health insurance accepted. SaratogaStressReductionPrograms.com. And the Yiddish Book Center, Amherst, Massachusetts, a center for Yiddish culture, museum exhibits, tours, concerts, educational programs, and more. Open Sunday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., YiddishBookCenter.org.
Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Stu Shinsky make up our panel this morning. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We're going to change subjects because it just seems like the right thing to do.
What do you mean?
And we're going to talk about health care and health care laws and the GOP tactics. Beginning today, the House holding the first of a series of hearings across multiple committees to examine the problems with the troubled website, as well as the law's exemption and waiver components and the problems that some consumers are having accessing their doctors through the program. The New York Times writes this morning, emboldened by the intense public criticism surrounding the rollout of the online insurance exchange, Republicans in Congress are refocusing their efforts from denying funds for the health care law to investigating it.
Yeah, that's right. Anything that works, any port in a storm, they're gonna do. What doesn't work is that they got themselves quite beaten up. The real question is, what's the level of sophistication on the part of the American people? Do we say, okay, so they screwed up, so now they're going to try to make it better, we forgive them? Or do we say, down with them forever because they did the rollout incorrectly? What happened? Did you something
oh,
come
something
apart?
Fell apart.
Did you break the radio station,
Joe?
That's all right.
Yeah,
I think a better question is, what is the sophistication of the GOP? If they thought it was a prudent move to hold up funding the government to try to knock down a law that was already passed and signed.
$29 billion, yeah.
Okay, so that's a bad move. That's a no-win. Now, is this more prudent of a move or more tactically possible? Absolutely. The first one was not a good plan. So I think the better question is, how sophisticated are the planners, if there are any now, in the GOP?
Yeah, but what, we know what they want. They want to destroy Obama.
And so, how many investigations will have no closure? You'll never hear about the end of the investigation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we heard about the end of their first plan, and that was a smackdown of the GOP. And so, obviously, somebody in the central planning office there may need to think about
CPO.
Things. Yeah.
It's a headline grabber.
Yeah.
So if you're doing this and you have watch those boards, Stu.
Studio
right
is falling apart.
Yes.
I'm the new guy. It's
going
to get me.
Right. One of the things that I find interesting about this, though, is you have the all of this uproar over the rollout. And you keep on saying, the administration keeps on saying, we're fixing it, we're working on it, we're fixing it, we're working on it. So now you're having hearings with people who were initially in charge of doing it, who knew what, when, why didn't they do this right, why didn't they? But meanwhile, it seems that things now are in some operational form, right?
It's supposedly working better, far from efficient. They've brought in Verizon, supposedly, to try to work out the kinks. But why wasn't this done before launch? It's not like this was 24 hours notice. Let's get this website up tomorrow.
this is years in the making. How could this not work?
I'm with you.
This is a major embarrassment. And you know what the Democratic response is going to be on those committees? You know, remember, there's always a minority and they get to ask questions. They're going to be just as angry as the Republicans are. They're going to really let them have it, which is going to be appropriate. In other words, as you just say, how do we screw this up? And so we did. And now, as anybody wants to throw the first stone, having never screwed anything up in their lives, and hope that they can get it working, whether it's a grocery store or something else.
Yeah, this is a little bigger than a grocery store. Yeah,
in private business, this would never be tolerated. I mean, the New York Exchange website went up, and there was a couple of small things, but nothing close.
New York is working really well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why isn't the federal? And that, in and of itself, is good.
Well,
okay,
it's a testimonial to Governor Andrew Cuomo and his ability to manage things. How come there's silence in the room?
Well, Stu is having coffee. I'm taking a splinter out of my leg, and I don't know.
Very tasty.
Did you get a splinter from the falling studio?
No, we're fine.
We'll have our heads tomorrow.
No. I was listening to Marketplace this morning before we were just before we came on, and in their lead, I don't think they could have said screw up or massive. I'm suddenly trying to censor myself. All of these different adjectives for monumental, colossal.
It's a snafu.
Right. that was going on in this, and I thought, okay, well, you know, we get it. You know, it's not working. I don't think we need to keep on beating this as much as it is that it doesn't work. We have that.
These technical glitches will get worked out, and they're not glitches. They're much bigger. As somebody pointed out, they're much more huge than a glitch.
Yeah.
But these technical issues will get worked out. The real question about this program comes a year or two down the road when we see, A, how many people actually are now insured, B, how the prices have gone.
Well, that's
because
the whole
there
point.
Is that so-called death spiral that some have talked
Absolutely.
About, and people before Ted Cruz talked about it. And so if the thing implodes in a year or two, then it's advantage GOP. But right now, technical problems, they're going to get straightened out. That the program will be working. Now then we'll have to see if it is working.
I mean, I certainly understand Alan's point of saying, you know, this is a huge embarrassment. Absolutely. It was a huge embarrassment.
And the president said so, which is the right thing for him to have done.
Right.
He said nobody's angrier, nobody's more disappointed than I am.
Still, the buck stops at his desk, and it didn't really show.
There is a part of this program which a lot of people, I've said it before, but a lot of people are not paying attention
seconds,
to. Okay,
and then,
it's the 40 million people who have not been getting health care before. Are they going to sign on? Do they know what to do? How are we going to do it? That is, to me, the real issue. And whether or not this snafu, as Stu put it, stops them from doing what they should be doing.
You threw me a lifeline. That's
yeah, the program has to work, okay? Yeah. I mean, so much was invested in this program emotionally, financially, politically. It's got to work. To get off to a start like this, they have to overcome this. And then you would think they'd be perhaps a little more attentive to the rest of the elements and the details of the program to ensure any other problems are eradicated now.
We will discuss this and other issues when we come back. We welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel this morning. Stu Shinsky is here, the executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, has made his way up the thruway and joins us this morning. Thank you very much for being
beautiful
here.
Beautiful ride.
As always,
beautiful ride
indeed. Ray Graff is here as well, and Dr. Alan Chartok joins us.
That's a terrific newspaper you got there,
well, thank
Stu.
You.
I mean, really is.
My secret is to hire people far smarter than me.
Yeah, that's always, I do the
that's
same
easy
thing.
To do that.
I do the same thing here, no question about it. Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't believe it, folks.
Moment of silence.
It was the right thing to say.
yeah, it sounded good. Sure, that's right. NPR media reporter David Folkenflik has a new book out on Rupert Murdoch. It is called Murdoch's World. And it is a fascinating book, and it's been getting a lot of play. Among the stories highlighted in Murdoch's World, that Fox News' public relations shop used an elaborate series of fake accounts to post pro-Fox comments on websites critical of the network, that the same PR department has resorted to ruthless tactics to take revenge on critical reporters, that news Corp CEOs try to suppress damaging reporting about the phone hacking scandal from running in the Wall Street Journal, and then a New York Post columnist was merely chastised for directing a racial slur at a colleague. Just some of the stories to come out of the book, and it's hard to
Alan would like to be unleashed.
Ah, well, Alan unleashed.
I'm shocked, absolutely shocked.
Well,
I tell you,
that is it. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think those of us who have a view about Fox, perhaps a negative view. You know, none of this really comes as an overall surprise. Although, I will also say that this wouldn't come as an overall surprise to any network that was dealing with trying to maintain its reputation or protected in one way or another.
So now you got this stuff where people comment online, but they don't use their names and they use something else. What? You think that they're not going to figure out that when somebody says something bad about them, they have some kind of a troll. Is that the right word? Troll?
That's the word.
A troll come in and say, you know, that guy's full of baloney or something else. And then they organize themselves to do that. I mean, it's when you do something as bad as these comment lines are, without any protections, you're going to get this.
How do you handle it, Stu?
We have Facebook verification. Folks who comment on our website and our products, they have to use a Facebook account to get in. We have banned people. We have deleted comments. And I know this was talked about last week on the Media Project, and it's an ongoing issue because there are fake Facebook accounts.
Uh-huh.
But you do what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. But you do check when
yes.
somebody writes a letter to the editor. You do check that letter.
Every letter is verified.
Right, and you call them up and
yes.
you say, "Is that you?"
Yes.
and all the rest of it.
Yes.
But you don't do that in the same way with the trollers.
Different technology, different approach, different views, different medium. Can't be the same thing. Impossible.
Okay.
So can I ask a question? this is getting off the subject because I have to say I want to get back to Murdoch in a second because this is a lot of this is far more insidious than what we're talking about, which is in and of itself insidious. But can I ask a question
sure.
of what do you think the average reader gets out of looking at these comments, which are just filled in many cases with just rage and hatred?
It depends on the reader. Some will look for the comfort of those they agree with. Some will look at this for just what the debate is that's there, look for some interesting new concepts maybe they hadn't thought of. And some just do it for pure freaking entertainment.
Absolutely.
but you think it's beneficial. I think
the interaction is beneficial. I think the interaction is much more beneficial when it's intelligent. And I don't mean where it slants one side or slants to the other, where it's provocative, where it's thought-provoking, where it gives you insights you might not have gotten on your own. That's the goal. What happens is that, yes, there are trolls who jump in and flame out.
But we have seen in newspapers in this region who will take the comment section off the individual articles from their reporters, but when it comes to the blogs, when it comes to the other content that they provide on the site, that's where the commenting is allowed.
Right, yeah. Blogs are built in essence for interaction. Some of the issues that you deal with is simply one of reality, which is how much interaction can you expect? I mean, we've shut off comments on stories. We had a terrible story about a 99-year-old woman who was killed in her house a couple of months ago by an intruder, murdered in her own house, 99 years old. And we had to shut the comments off because of some of the comments that were posted on the story. And it's just, there are times where it's just, you just have to shut it down.
Yeah.
But in general, when you say, you know, you're looking for intelligent ideas and commentary, that's your goal. But isn't your goal more eyes on the page and more
no.
website traffic? Oh, it's not at all?
Well, not in this instance. Because
now you've been raid.
Oh,
it's not at all?
Oh, I'm going to ray them back.
No, please do.
Because
do.
We used to, before we went to Facebook comments, we had just sign up and, you know, your name could be triangle or circle
yeah.
or roast beef. We stopped that, and we lost two-thirds of the interaction and the page views, and we didn't care because
okay.
it was the right thing to do.
Well, there's also a major – you work for a major and reputable company, Gannett.
The Gannett company.
And they're always going to be struggling with this also. Right? Right.
And before we went to the Facebook commenting, there was numerous options investigated. And Gannett had moderators 24 hours a day on every website in the company.
Wow.
Going through comments. And the comments were falling like rain. And people got the idea, look, if I put up some garbage, it's going to come down.
But, yeah. you know, there is a second part of this, and that is there is an unhealthy part of the American experience. Now, somebody's going to... And so what happens is there's some very angry and disturbed people out there. So, for example, in the Berkshire County region where I live, there's a national chain that does this in every town. Okay, it's Topix, T-O-P-I-X. Yes. And it started out where you could take it almost seriously. Now it's just, you know, garbage after garbage after garbage. It's degenerated to the point where people are leaving it and not dealing with it anymore because they think it's so stupid.
We dumped it. We had Topix at one point. We dumped it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was frankly the same reason. It just became one of these cesspools of discussion that was not interesting, not provocative in an insightful way. It just became hit and run anonymous comments.
And often taken over by the same three guys.
Right, right. Yeah, social media gives lots of people megaphones that perhaps they're entitled to have on any side of the political aisle, but maybe shouldn't have, or should there needs to be more discretion in that, because it's just getting my view out there, and that's that. That's
we started out with Murdoch.
So I wanted
to ask you a question, Stu. What do you think about Murdoch?
I think he's a businessman who has put together an empire that is in many ways unparalleled on some levels.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt, from the movie studios to American Idol, the way he runs the business, he finds it successful. Fine with him. He used to own a newspaper in Orange County, the Middletown Times Herald Record, and obviously they were just sold to a different company. Local news is local news is the way I look at it. And frankly, if it's done right, people won't care who you're owned by if it's done right.
I care about the fact that he owns Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Roselle keeps telling me to stop hissing at the beginning when they put Fox up there. I go, and she looks at me, and she's terribly embarrassed.
And some people say, I hate those Sulzbergers who run that New York Times thing out of New York City.
Yeah.
Some people hate that, too. So.
Mm.
I want to get back to the Fox story and the Falcon Flick book.
What was that?
The Falcon Flick
book? Ah, book. Okay, so yes. Book.
Fair enough.
So New York Times media reporter Timothy Arango was working on a story about CNN's solid ratings in 2008. He was reportedly first asked by Fox to run in full a vitriolic statement about CNN that the conservative network had provided him. After he bristled at that suggestion, Arango, a former News Corp employee that had worked for the New York Post from 2002 to 2006, claims he received an ominous threat from Fox suggesting he would be attacked personally for his story. The morning Arango's story ran on the front page of the Times' business section, he was contacted by a writer for the now-defunct gossip website Jossip, and that site later anonymously published a hit piece on Arango, including revealing that a recent medical leave he had taken, quote, may have been a stint in rehab.
Wow.
Comments?
Reporters are going to rehab. There's not headline news, hey?
We don't know. It's on a gossip site.
Whatever.
You know, one of the phenomena that I see here is that everybody, when they're attacked in print, and I'm included, almost always feels that somebody is looking at them in the most, I don't want to get graphic here, the most invasive ways and wants to, you know, and that...
You mean spying?
No, I mean, never mind.
All right.
But I mean, sir, you're being examined in a way. So you want to say something, Joe?
No, I certainly don't want to say something.
Please, Joe.
Okay. All right. So, no, but the point really.
Let me know when you want me to cough.
Back away from the microphone, slowly, Joe.
Okay, yeah, cough is.
Key. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
But here's the point: most people don't care. You know, somebody writes something about you. You see that? And then, you know, nobody saw it. Nobody cares about it.
But if you're a news entity, And yeah. You're the New York Times, and you're writing an article about sure. CNN, and sure. It's an article about CNN's ratings, and you use and Fox gives you this thing, I hate CNN, CNN is awful, CNN is horrible, and you don't run that full clip, and as a result of that, they run a hit piece on you and another source saying that you may or may not have, or certainly implying that you spent time in rehab?
Okay, so the answer is it's disgusting. Really, truly, the answer Absolutely. Is disgusting. But I must say, I'm not shocked by it anymore. I've seen it. It's happened to me. People have, you know, people who want to take prisoners after you do something to them.
Do you think we'd be better served to have more stringent rules like the UK has as far as what you can print about people?
Well, let's go to Shinsky on that one.
All right.
No. I like the First Amendment.
Okay.
It seems to work. It's not perfect. It's far from it. It's inherently flawed in many ways. But it's worked very well in many regards for many years. If the model were to change about what could be published, the economic model would change behind it.
What about in new paradigms like blogging and comments and posts like that? Is that all still under that blanket, or would you prefer some nuanced look at internet?
I mean, you just told us you took things down, so
yeah, it depends. What we take them out for violating the terms of service. You know, it's not yeah. we don't like it. There's actual standards or parameters that are violated that, you know, lead to those decisions. You know, the world of publishing, you know, my business has become so fragmented in so many ways where someone in the next 20 seconds can start a Facebook page about news and on Central Avenue in Albany, and that's all it is. And someone yeah. could start that, and they could try to sell some ads and get an economic aspect out of it. That fragmentation is what's changing. Everyone can self-publish if they so choose. That's the issue.
Doesn't, in the end, the fact that everyone can have a Twitter account, everyone can blab their ideas, their reckons to the world, doesn't that eventually just go back to the real the so-called real news entities end up being at the fore anyway? In other words, if everybody can speak yeah. their mind, doesn't then it go back to the real entities?
I agree with you.
If yeah, the news absolutely. Entities stay true to their ethics, yes. Because through all that morass, people hopefully will look for a source of information that they can trust.
They can count on.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's what we try to do at the Poughkeepsie Journal. I mean, we've been around for 228 years. We're the second oldest newspaper in
America. No, it's a great newspaper. It's a great newspaper.
We really appreciate it. But we try. You know, we make mistakes. Of course we do. You know, we don't want to. It's certainly things that we want to improve upon. But the greater good of community journalism is what really attracts me to what I do. We're yeah. very local. It's about our neighborhoods, our community, our people.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will find out some of the great stuff that will be in that newspaper over the next few days. We'll talk about that and much more when we return right after the short break.
Support comes from Community Foundation of the Greater Capital Region, working to improve the quality of life in the Capital Region by connecting donors and nonprofits. Your generosity, our stewardship. CFGCR.org. Different Drummers Kitchen, the cook's resource in Albany, Lenox, and Northampton, offering demonstration and hands-on classes taught by regional chefs. DifferentDrummersKitchen.com for registration. Hudson Opera House, presenting Hudson Air, a live theatrical performance of radio, recreating the atmosphere of a radio broadcast studio. This Saturday at 7 p.m., HudsonOperaHouse.org. And Lewis Sign Company, LED electronic message centers, digital printing, logo design, vehicle wraps, flagpoles, maintenance since 1924. Tell the world with signs, LewisSigns.com.
We've been lucky enough to have Stu Shinsky with us this morning. He is executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal.
That's the microphone.
Okay. Hey, it works. It makes good noise.
Sorry, Hopper. I apologize. Our engineer Hopper is scowling, and rightfully so. Sorry.
We've been lucky to have Stu Shinsky with us, the executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal. We've been talking about the newspaper, and that we want to get a little bit of an idea, a little preview of some of the stories coming up over the next few days, including Sunday, right?
Yes. Well, this Sunday we're doing a big, big take on Make a Difference Day. That is this Saturday. It's a national day of volunteering. Actually, our company, the Gannett Company, is behind it. USA Weekend Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
There are.
How are you going to make a difference, Ray?
I make a difference every morning. Never mind. Just never mind. Just go on.
Go ahead.
I'll send
go
a reporter tomorrow.
Let's do have the floor.
There's lots of volunteering efforts going on Saturday, including Ray's tomorrow morning. Be sure to tune in. But one thing we're looking at is Monday, at PoughkeepsieJournal.com and in our printed publication. Next week is the anniversary of Sandy.
Wow.
Superstorm Sandy.
Right.
And if you'll remember, the year before that, almost to the day, was a major snowstorm.
Mm.
Crippling snowstorm in Dutchess County. We had 18, 20 inches of snow. Power outages, trees bent in half from the weight of this unexpected snowfall before Halloween.
Because leaves were still on the trees.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So next week is the anniversary of two significant weather tragedies. So Monday's paper, we're looking back. What's changed since? What has been the impact?
People like that when you sort of go back and look and talk about to the man.
I'll let you know Tuesday.
Yeah.
They do. I think what they want, you know, they know what happened. You know, they want to know, okay, so what's going to be different next time? And what we found out is that several things are going to be different next time. We talked to our utilities. We talked to the Red Cross. We talked to emergency response personnel. You know, in Dutchess County, Hurricane Sandy was not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was far worse in New Jersey, far worse even in Westchester County.
Manhattan.
But, Manhattan, of course, Brooklyn, Staten Island. What we found, though, is that there are numerous things changing in terms of how communication is done with technology, mutual response, things like that. So in theory, next time there's a storm, there should be a much better response. There should be more coordination with utilities coming in to help out. Mm-hmm. Central Hudson, our local utility with NYSEG, they did everything they could do. Some feel they didn't do enough, but they have more tree trimming going on, more high-tech infrastructure improvements. Communications aspects have changed, things like that.
Don't you think whenever you write a story like that, that the first thing people think of, oh, my God, that was only a year ago?
Yeah, absolutely.
A month ago,
that was
a week
two years ago.
Yeah, right, that snowstorm, I remember plowing my driveway in that snowstorm, thinking, where did this come from?
Will there be a lot of pictures in the article?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, most people who remember back say, I lived through that. I want to see it again. Yes.
Right, and
they're
how will it be
not
remembered
so concerned
in history?
About the future. Right. They're saying, oh, yeah, that was a time.
Yeah, and we're resurrecting all the photos, all the videos that we did as well. That was one of our best video days in terms of how many videos were played on our website.
Yeah.
We're going to resurrect them all because it chronicles an important moment people won't forget.
All right. Well, it was game one of the World Series last night and a great night for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Red Sox certainly were showing their stuff last night. They won 8-1 over the St. Louis Cardinals. One of the big stories to come out of the game was in the bottom of the first inning and really, you know, kind of set the tone, I would think, for the entire game. There was umpires reversed a call in the bottom of the first that changed they changed the call. The Boston Red Sox benefited from the call, capitalized, and went on to score three runs against St. Louis Cardinals.
And that was the game.
And that was the game. So the play in question, runners on first and second base and one out. And then David Ortiz hit a potential inning-ending double play grounder to second baseman Matt Carpenter. Shortstop, the shortstop dropped Carpenter's relay throw, but second base umpire Dana DeMuth ruled that Cosma, who is the shortstop, had the ball long enough in his glove and was transferring to his hand, and he called Dustin Pedroia, the base runner, out. And then
the umps talked about it.
And then the umps talked about it. And then, of course, while the umps are talking about it, we're seeing the tape over and over and over again.
And so were
where
they.
It was clearly.
And so were they, though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they're not supposed to have instant replay except for home runs. Those guys were watching
sorry,
the Jumbotron.
Joe, you were saying it's clearly the original ump was
made
wrong.
A bad call. And,
oh,
and,
yeah.
And they made the right. They conferred, and they ended up making the right call. Everybody saw it.
So this is the look of the future now in baseball, right?
Oh, they're moving slowly toward that.
They're talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, but you wonder, I mean, had they let that stand, I can't even imagine what.
Oh, well, Boston fans are usually pretty even keeled, so I'm sure it would have gone fine.
It would have been like Bush versus Gore.
Well, bad calls in the World Series. Don Dankinger, the famous call with the Cardinals World Series, I believe in 85.
Yes.
I think it might have been.
Yeah. Well, this was a point that was made last night.
It's not new.
It's not new, but it was one of the points made in the broadcast that you probably would not have seen such an intense coming in by all of the umpires, a confab to discuss this if it were the 42nd game.
Right.
You know, in late May, from you know, a team that didn't have a shot.
How'd you like to be
that
series?
How'd
you like to be that original ump this morning?
But you know, I think that's fine. I think his fellow umps bailed him out.
Yeah, they got it right. That's what it should be. Whether it's the 42nd game in May, or if it's the first game of the World Series, or it's the All Star game, get it right.
Danny DeMuth is a good ump. He's been around a long time. He blew one, and his fellow ump said, "Listen, you blew that. Let's move on."
Well, you blew it. You know, he saw what he saw. He thought he saw what he saw, and I don't think he's trying to throw anything. It's just that it was his vantage point, and that's why you have the other umps to come in and say,
you know, he's 4 feet away.
You know that the famous judge Jerome Frank said that every judge should be psychoanalyzed. Where am I going with this? Every judge should be psychoanalyzed to see what predisposition they had to people of color, to people of sex, you know, of different sexes, the rest of this kind of thing. How do we know that
conspiracy number one brought to you by?
Talking about conspiracy. I'm just talking about an orientation in one's mind. You know, you guys can all yell at me. And
the second pitcher theory.
Just get it right. I mean, it's the Super Bowl has replay. The Super Bowl has consulting officials after a controversial call.
Right, but the games take a lot longer than they used to.
But they, in theory, hopefully get it right.
These are great umps, and if you're talking about you are not an umpire in the World Series if you are not a very, very good umpire and have been one of the assets to the league.
And it's not subjective. They do ratings.
Absolutely.
And this isn't he's really good. I mean, they do ratings. They scorecard
an
umpire's effectiveness. So.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, we're done.
All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Stu, thank you very much. And it's
PoughkeepsieJournal.com
to find out more information on
all
the
great stuff. Could you do this once a week? Come on up here.
Well, it's a little issue with a throughway, but I love doing this.
Get a car.
Yeah.
Get a car.
Can I email myself up here? Do you have a big enough computer to print me out?
Get a car. and on that note, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.